trip. It took him a moment to get his voice back. That's what it looked like. I ran into the first zombies where they had been digging up a busted water pipe outside. That's how I got the pickaxe in real life. I sighed. We're not in Kansas anymore. Edward muttered something, and Tanya gave him a friendly cuff.
Of course Las Vegas is in Nevada, Tanya said. That's from the Wizard of Oz. Didn't your mama let you watch any TV while you were growing up? Orcs.
What do we do? I asked her.
Why are you asking me?
Tanya was terrified.
You're the wizard!
I gestured at the doors that most certainly did not lead back into the casino.
That's a magic issue. Fix it!
A low growling sound came from inside one of the nearby lockers. All of us jumped. Something thumped against the sheet metal. Then it thumped again, harder. Something was trying to get out. I put the EOTech on the center of the locker. Trip was saying something under his breath, repeating the same thing over and over, and I realized he was praying.
What is it?
Her name was Amy. She was on the softball team. Sophomore. Good kid. Bright future.
Tripp's whole body was shaking.
She was the only survivor outside. I came in here to call for help, but I could hear more of them ahead. This locker was open, so I told her to get inside. I closed the door and told her to stay real quiet. I didn't know what else to do. I thought they wouldn't be able to get to her.
The locker rocked. The metal frame was bending around the latch. The zombie inside couldn't get enough range of motion to break itself free.
Don't cry. Don't cry. I'll get help. Just stay quiet and they won't know you're here.
Trip whispered. She had already been bitten, hadn't she?
I didn't know what to do back then, Z. I did the best I could.
Edward stepped forward, lifted his sword about head high, and drove it cleanly through the sheet metal. He wrenched it around, then pulled out the blade, now coated in fresh blood. The moaning stopped. The locker was still. There was a sudden bang as a door further inside the school was opened. Someone screamed.
This is how it happened. Exactly how it happened,
Tripp said.
This is exactly how it happened. They all died last time.
The screaming continued. It sounded like a young woman, high-pitched and terrified.
Focus, Tripp. Listen to me, man.
I grabbed him by the shoulder.
Don't let him mess with your head. It's not real.
What if it is? We don't know who else is in here.
Desperate, he knocked my hand away. There was more crashing as furniture was knocked over, followed by the groans of the hungry dead. Then there was a chorus of screams.
I can save them this time.
Tripp took off in a sprint. I should have seen that coming.
Damn it, Tripp!
I shouted after my friend.
Stop!
I couldn't have tackled him if I wanted to. Tripp was way faster than I was.
Hell, come on,
I told the other two. Tripp was running full tilt, and he'd been a college football running back. The dude could move. He got to the next intersection, hung a left, and disappeared. I got there a few seconds after him. There were bloody handprints on the walls. Tripp had already rounded the next corner when I stepped in a puddle of blood, slipped, and landed on my hands and knees. Ed moved to help me, but I waved him on.
Catch Tripp!
Tanya and Edward did as I ordered and kept running. I got up and started after them, but as I reached the next corner, the fluorescence died. I was completely engulfed in darkness. I reached out to touch the wall that had just been there, but my hand fell through nothing. I took another step to where I was positive the wall would be, but it was only open air. the world around me had vanished. Oh, crap. Everything was just gone. It was empty and dark and vast, and my muscles threatened to lock up in fear. I had to fight down the sudden urge to panic. I blundered forward, sightless. No, don't leave me here. Then there was a tiny flicker of light ahead, the fluorescent lights of the high school. I struggled toward it. The figure of a man stepped into my path.
Wait, please.
I squinted to see who it was, and with a shock, recognized the young man that I'd seen briefly at the wrecked gas station. He was in the same olive-drab utility clothing, free of any identifier. My initial reaction was to shoot him, but the look on his face was one of concern rather than menace.
Don't leave yet. I pulsed you here so we can talk without him hearing us. It's getting worse out there, isn't it?
Yes. Who are you? The young man rubbed his face with his hands, the motion of a man who was desperately trying to wake up.
I don't remember.
You'd better start remembering, sport. Are you the one behind this? Are you the nightmare?
No. I'm trying to hold him back. I used to remember how to control him, but I've been asleep. They put me to sleep. I'm still trying to wake up. Everything's so confusing. I don't know anymore.
What the hell is going on here? What do you remember?
Needles. They stuck so many needles in me. Hundreds and hundreds of needles. They gave me drugs. They shut down my brain. They thought it would stay inside me that way. The doctors thought it would sleep forever, but it dreamed the whole time. Such terrible dreams.
The young man shuddered, and that seemed to rouse him from his haze.
I've got to find her. Help me find her, mister. I have to know she's safe. In the dreams, he showed me over and over what he would do to her. That's how he woke me up. I've got to get to her before he does. Help me find her, then I can put him back to sleep. I can't rest until I know she's safe.
He'd mentioned finding someone last time.
Who?
It was as if he didn't hear me.
He wants you to die here. You've crossed into his world. I'll try to make a door for you and your pals to go back through. I won't be able to do that for too many more times now that he's awake. He gets stronger, then he rests and comes back again. The stronger he gets, the more the worlds will blur together. I'll make you a door home, but promise you'll help me first.
What choice did I have? Okay, I promise. The darkness parted just a bit more. The place I'd just been standing was ahead, shimmering as if it were underwater. I took a step toward it, fearful that what felt like solid ground beneath my feet would disappear at any moment. Then another step, and another. The light grew closer.
This woman I'm supposed to find. What's her name?
Then I realized that the light was fading, and soon I would be left in the darkness, trapped. There was no time. Shit! I ran for it. As I moved past the young man, it was like being struck by an Arctic wind. The cold was so piercing. One freezing hand reached for me, but it passed through my arm as if there was nothing there. The cold threatened to overpower me.
I remember something important. Topaz! Look at Topaz!
He begged. And then I was back in the light. Turning around, there was nothing but the blood-smeared high school. The empty black was gone. Another blood-curdling scream brought me back to reality. It was as if no time had passed at all, and I caught up to Tanya and Edward in a few seconds. Just ahead, Trip rounded one last corner and skidded to a stop. I caught up. There was a mob of zombies waiting for us. Their clothing was ripped, red with fresh blood. There was a janitor, teachers, and parents, but most of them were just normal kids. They were all focused on trying to get into a classroom, smashing themselves over and over against the splintering door. There were interior windows. Those were cracked, held together only by the wire mesh inside, but the zombies were slowly pushing their way in. The screams were coming from inside the classroom. The zombies had heard the squeak of Tripp's boots, and their heads snapped around automatically, dead, glassy eyes fixated on him.
"This time I've got a gun,"
Tripp said. The zombies started toward us.
"And I know how to use it."
Then he went to town. The first zombie caught a .45 right in the eye. The next two were going down before the brains of the first one had even splattered against the floor. The impact of the bullets made more noise than the firing of the suppressed Chris. Brass tinkled on the floor. A zombie lurched at us from a nearby closet. I blasted it square in the face. A dead cheerleader came from the other side, but Edward hurled a knife and stuck her head to a bulletin board. By MHI standards, slow zombies were easy money. Tripp just kept on shooting real bullets into the imaginary zombies as they lurched and jerked their way toward us. Tripp's gun was empty. There was still one left tottering toward him. I pointed Abomination.
"I've got this!"
He spat with uncharacteristic rage. Tripp dropped his subgun and pulled the tomahawk from his belt. The zombie was wearing a white shirt and a tie.
"Hey, Jim!"
The zombie kept walking obliviously toward his destruction. Tripp took two steps forward and swung, planting the little axe into Jim's forehead.
"You don't get them this time."
Tripp wrenched the tomahawk out, taking a huge chunk of scalp with it, then chopped Jim again. Then, one last time as the nearly headless corpse went down. Tripp was panting.
"Never again."
In less than 20 seconds, there were more than 20 dead zombies littering the hall. Edward went over and jerked his knife out of the wall and the zombie's head. It dropped like a rock. Ed wiped his knife off on the cheerleader's skirt before resheathing it. Tanya went to the side and barfed in a trash can. Tripp was standing over the dead man in the tie, his tomahawk dangling at his side, dripping dark blood.
"That was Jim," he said softly. "Friend of mine. Taught shop. Last time he was the one that broke in. He was the one that got the kids that I couldn't save. I put those kids in there. I told them to barricade the doors and stay put. I went to get help. I told them to pray. I told them to have faith and everything would be okay. I told them to trust me, but I failed them. I was too slow, too weak. I wasn't ready then. I didn't know what I was doing then. I wasn't prepared. Not this time. Never again."
I looked to the classroom. The screaming had stopped. It was quiet except for the buzz of the old lights.
"What happens now?"
"I don't know. Last time I got this far, they were already dead."
Tripp put his tomahawk away and stuck a fresh mag into his subgun.
"Let's find out."
Stepping over corpses, we reached the classroom. The door was nearly destroyed. One sharp kick sent it flying inward. As promised, he'd given us our exit. The four of us stepped out onto the empty gambling floor of the Last Dragon Casino. The door we'd just come through led to nothing but an empty janitorial closet. Chapter 17. Earl Harbinger wasn't even there for me to brief when we got back to the conference center. He was off taking care of another crisis called in by Mitch. Apparently there was a kraken in the pool. Cody, Paxton, and the other smart hunters had come back from the nightclub without incident. They'd walked right through the area where we'd been initially attacked by zombies, and there hadn't even been a sign that anything had happened there at all. I gave them the rundown of what we'd seen, then had to repeat myself to Klaus Lindemann, who had been made the second in command of our operation. I hadn't been around for that part. It struck me as a cagey move by Earl, though, since Grim Berlin was respected by many of the companies that didn't particularly care for us, and even the companies that didn't like either of us would have a difficult time not listening to the combined experience of those two men.